Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening will be taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we'll be reading the first 21 verses of that chapter. So again, that's Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to begin reading from verse 1 and read through verse 21. Ephesians 5, we'll begin reading from verse 1 and we'll read as follows in the name of our Lord. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. And Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. Whenever we approach the letter to the Ephesians, there's a fairly significant theme that stands out to us as we consider this letter. And it needs to be noted, as we have jumped right into the latter part of the letter, we're already talking about walk. But there was actually a missionary or even a teacher of the word. His name was Watchman Nee, who actually made this observation as he studied the book of Ephesians or the letter of Ephesians. He said there's this very clear pattern that you see in there, and that is sit, walk, and stand. And so when we look at this letter, or actually when you look at your entirety of your life as a believer and as a Christian, as a follower of Christ in this world, this is what you will notice. You will notice, or this is what you should know before you can really understand what it means to walk, and that is that you are seated with Christ. This is what Watchman Nee observed, and this is what we see even within this letter tonight. And if I had time, we'd go through the whole letter, but we don't have time. But in the second chapter, in the sixth verse, Paul writes, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, it's important that we know that as believers, that we understand it from the first chapter into the second chapter and going into the third chapter as well. This is really what Paul now brings to our attention. This is how it is for those of you who are believers in Christ. You find yourselves already with this reality in your minds. You understand by the power of God, by the work of Christ, through the power of His Spirit, you are seated already here in the here and now with Christ. That is the reality for you. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This isn't like a future event, although it will find its fulfillment in the future. But already here in this life, I am seated with Christ. This has been done with for me. And you know, I've told you this before in speaking of the Easter event and the crucifixion of our Lord and all of that, how it's a significant event, but it's more significant when you understand that you have died with Christ and you have risen with Christ. Paul writes about this all the time because this is how we are to understand ourselves as believers in this world today. We are in Christ. That's what identifies us. We are seated with Christ already in heavenly places. And it's from that foundation stone then that we make our next step, as it were, in this letter to the idea of walk. So you are seated with Christ in heavenly places already. Through the work of Christ, if you were to read this entire letter, that's what you would see. You have been saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of yourselves. It's completely His work. And then when he gets into the latter part of this letter, and especially in chapters 4 and chapter 5, he talks about us being those who are walking now. It's very much like when Paul goes through the letter to the Romans and he expels out there so powerfully, like we have been talking already in Romans in the previous Lent services, the evening services. We've been talking a lot about the letter to the Romans and how Paul spells out very clearly in Romans, this is the way it is for you. You are all sinners. No one in this entire world who will be born, who has been born, or will be born are exempt from that. Everyone is identified by that because of the fall of man into sin. But Christ came and redeemed the race. He restored the race, and he says, this is the way it is for you now. You who are believers in Christ, there's now a walk. There's actually a walk for us. This is really all he talks about here tonight. But, and I have to state this over and over again so that you get it. It is impossible for you to walk according to your fleshly understanding. Whenever we begin to go from our fleshly understanding, we are going to wind up in failure. You need to understand what Paul writes here very clearly. He says, you are now this new person in Christ. And this is now what motivates you to actually do the things that you do. Which is why in the fourth chapter, Paul says to walk worthy of the vocation or your calling. All of the first three chapters simply state for you what Christ has done, what God has done in saving you and rescuing you from your sin and your condemnation and bringing you onto life and salvation and telling you this has all been His will from the very beginning of time. And now he says, because you know this and understand this and know that you are saved, now walk like it. In essence, that's what he says. So act like it. As you live in the culture in which you find yourself in this day and age, you are to walk worthy. You are not simply to indulge the flesh in whatever you want to do. And this is really what was the problem with the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church lived in an area where the goddess Diana was set up. And the goddess Diana, well, we won't even get into all that that's all about, but it was a goddess of fertility. So you can imagine what would take place in their worship there. It was just bad. Let's put it that way. And this is what he was contesting against. The immorality of that day and the sexual immorality of that day as well. Which is why he makes a great point of placing or naming those things. And saying basically, that isn't who you are. In the fifth chapter where we read tonight, you will notice there's three places that he talks about walking. The first thing he tells us, though, is be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And interestingly enough, Paul recognizes something for you and for me tonight that is virtually impossible apart from the work of Christ in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because we as human beings, by default, very often, will find ourselves following the old nature, the old man, as he refers to him as here. And so this is why he says this, be followers of God as his children. Because you have been changed, you have been renewed. Now you are instructed to walk in newness of life. You walk now according to your vocation or calling, not in the vanity or the senselessness of your mind. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And notice what he says, and walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ also loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He says, just like the sacrifice of Christ was satisfying to God, this satisfied the penalty that was rightfully ours. It was laid upon Christ. He says, so it is for you, you are to walk in love, because this is what makes God, and I hate to even say it like this, but this is what makes God happy. What makes God happy is when the Christian believers, as they walk through this world, are walking in love. They are expressing this to one another and to the world as they live out their lives in this world, submitting themselves one to another in the fear of God. It was the last verse I read tonight. Because this is what it means to be a follower of God. A follower of God is no longer simply looking at his belly button, as you know I like to say, navel gazing. Say, what's in it for me? How does this benefit me? That's how we are as selfish human beings. What do I get out of this? And all along the scripture is showing us that that is the exact wrong mindset. That is the mindset of the enemy. He says, you look at Christ and you look at what he did. And you understand that as you live out your life in this world, this is how you are instructed to live it out. In a Christ-like manner. No excuses. No excuses. You are seated with Christ already. He has done the work. He has given it to you as a free gift. And now he calls you to follow him. Follow me. Walk in love. And then he noticed what he says. But all these other things should not even be once named among you as become as saints. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Well, why? Because all of these things indicate the old man or the fallen human being. And Paul says, this isn't who you are anymore. You see, we need to understand who we are. We are the sanctified children of God, which is all saint means. We have been set apart as holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus shed his blood on the center cross of Calvary, and we have been covered now in that blood, we are now sanctified, holy individuals in this world. Not to simply be holier than thou, but actually to live out a life that expresses to the world who their God is. And you tell me how that looks if the Christian church is committing all of this. Fornication or sexual immorality is all that means. And all uncleanness or covetousness or filthiness or foolish talking or jesting. He said, this is no longer who you are. These things, in fact, shouldn't even be named in the church or among the church people. Not because somehow we are trying to make ourselves holy. We are already holy. You see, this is a point I'm trying to really drive home tonight. We do this on the basis of who we are. We don't even enjoy talking about those things. He says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And we find that to be difficult, don't we? We find that to be difficult. But this isn't my word, this is the word of God. And what Paul is spelling out here very clearly is those who practice these things and live in this way demonstrate something to the people around them. They demonstrate that they are not of the kingdom of God. By their actions or by their fruit, sometimes we'll say, if they are living in, again, whoremonger, just simply means one who indulges his flesh sexually with all kinds of different, in all kinds of different ways. He says, this shouldn't even be named among you. He says, or an unclean person or a covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. But this isn't who you are. You see, that's the whole point. You got to understand something. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He makes a very clear distinction here. The children of disobedience are the only ones who will experience the wrath of God because they disobey his word and they reject his Christ. But you are not the children of disobedience. You are the children of obedience. And this carries out then in your natural walk here in this world because of who you are. Notice what he says. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There is a distinction that Paul makes to the Ephesian church, which was a brand new church, that the followers of Christ, as it began to be, the church began to be established within the world. These things had to be delineated out because people, to some degree, thought, well, I'm free in Christ. That means I can go out and freely do whatever I want. And Paul says in Galatians, when he writes to the Galatian church, he says, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh. Because it only demonstrates one thing. It demonstrates that you're fleshly, that you're carnal-minded. So he says, but this isn't who you were. Notice in verse 8. Be ye, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk. Again, here's this word, walk. Walk as children of light. Jesus, when he instructed his disciples, what did he tell them about light? He said, you are the light of the world. But he also gave them a little imagery. Remember, we sing it, a little Sunday school song. You are the light of the world. What do you do with this light? Do you put a basket over it or a bushel so that no one can see it? No, that's the whole point. No, you don't. You put the light up somewhere really high or somewhere within the house so that everyone who walks into that place feels its heat or sees its light, its reflection. So walk like children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is what is acceptable unto the Lord. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The church is all about doing good things, about doing right things, and about the truth, about pointing people all the time to Jesus the Christ, who says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, who says to the people that are following him in his day, follow me. And he says to his disciples at another point, do you understand what it means to follow me? It actually means to come to the end of yourselves, to come to your own death, in order that you might find your life. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He says, you don't even gossip about those things that happen in the darkness. Rather, you simply expose them. Well, how do you expose them? By the Word. By the Word of God. For it is a shame, he says, even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You see, if you know of someone who is living in sexual immorality and you're whispering to your neighbor about it, well, you're no better than they are. Because you just simply become one who's a gossip and spreading this slander around instead of simply bringing them the Word of God, exposing them to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All things, he says, are reproved. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So we call people to the light. You see, this is in no way a condemning sermon. This is just a reality for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. These things shouldn't even be on the radar screen for us. Because we are followers of the Lord Christ and we understand what he has done for us. This is what Paul does when he writes his letters so powerfully. He spells it out very clearly. This is who you are now in Christ. So we go out into this world and we preach Christ. And we trust that as the light of the gospel begins to shine into their hearts, it'll expose the ugliness that needs to be rooted out. as it has in our own lives as well. But all things that are reproved are made manifest or are shown by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, and I love this, awake. It's time to wake up. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Because you see, in some weird sense of our human imagination and intellect, we think that somehow running to indulge the flesh will be so fulfilling and so gratifying. And it may be, quite honestly, it may be for a fleeting moment, but the end of those things is death. This is what Paul is saying. In Romans 6, he says this very clearly, the wages of sin is death. It's pure and simple. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we speak into this world and we tell them it's time to wake up. It's time to open your eyes. Come see what Jesus has done for you, how he has rooted out the darkness in my own life and exposed me for who I really am and shown me now what has been done for me in Christ and has seated me now already there. And now I'm actually able to walk in a proper and upright way simply because he indwells me by his Holy Spirit. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then he gives us another walk. See that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk with wisdom. Not as fools, but as wise. You see, you can't plead ignorance. You can't plead ignorance. You can't plead the human nature card. Oh, I'm just human. So therefore, that's why I do the things that I do. You can't plead that. If you know the scripture, you cannot do that. I'm not saying that we don't fall or struggle with sin. Of course we do. Which is why we need to be returned to this place all the time in our lives to understand what Christ has done and understand where our foundation is and where the strength comes for us to overcome those things which would come between us and him in our lives. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully is another way of looking at this. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time or making the most of the time because the days are evil. What am I supposed to do in making the most of the time, of this time? Spread the gospel. Shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. Take my bushel basket off of my light and let it shine forth without shame into this world so that people will see Jesus the Christ. When they see me. And then he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, this is where this all comes to. It comes to this one solid point, which I've been driving home all along through here. We are now filled with the Spirit of God and not to be under the influence of anything else, whether it's our flesh, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, you name it. All of those things, he says, don't let these things be the thing that controls you in your life, and don't let your flesh be the thing that controls you as you go about your daily living. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which is what directs you and guides you in your life. And as one speaker said from this pulpit, the Spirit of God will never, never lead you in a wrong pathway. And then he closes us off by saying, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. You see, there's a stark difference between the foolish, filthy, and crude joking that he's talking about in verse 3, or 4 rather, and what he says in verse 19. Verse 3 or verse 4, it's filthiness, it's crude or gross joking, garbage talk, so to speak. And in verse 19 he says, no, rather this is what should come forth from your heart as a believer in Christ. It's songs. And that doesn't literally mean that we're singing, although that's good. But we're speaking of what Christ has done for me. Do you know what Christ said to his disciples when someone began to chew somebody out for eating the wrong stuff? He says, it's not what you ingest into your body that corrupts you. It's what comes out that shows you who you are. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if the heart is evil and bad, out of the mouth comes evil and bad. But if the heart is good and right, then out of the mouth comes what is good and right. And you see, this is the whole point of this Lenten season as we make our way to the Easter celebration. We understand that God has rooted out the darkness of our heart and washed us and made us clean, so that what dwells within now is clean. And what comes forth from our lips is simply that of giving thanks to God. Thank you. Thanks be to God who has delivered me from this sinful portion. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is what we do. Instead of speaking evil, we speak thanks. We are those who give thanks. And we give thanks over and over again as we live out our lives in this world, because we recognize that in and of myself, I would always run to the darkness. That's the whole point. But because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, and because what he has done for me in my life, rescuing me, now I desire to run to the light, because there I find strength and hope and forgiveness and salvation. As we run toward Holy Week, this is what we look at as we see our Savior bleeding and dying on the center cross of Calvary. And we recognize that he's doing that for me and for you and for the sins of this entire world. He closes off this verse or this text that we read by saying, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He says, because of our reverence and respect and awe of our God, which is all fear of God means here, because of our reverence to our God, we submit ourselves one to another. We put the other person's needs above our own. The other thing that watchmen need notice as you went through the book of Ephesians was that finally, he says, after we understand that we sit with Christ, we walk with Christ, and then he says, finally, we stand with him. We sit with Christ, we walk with him, and we stand with him. You see, what I'm telling you to do tonight is not to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and figure this thing out. No, you need to understand that you are walking with Christ. And therefore, all of these things that we've been preaching about tonight won't be named among you, because you are side by side with the Savior. And you are standing with him as well. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brothers, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And finally, what holds all of this together is prayer. Prayer. Praying with all, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see, it's impossible for me to avoid all of these things that I told you about tonight outside of the realm of my Savior. It is only through the person of Jesus the Christ that all these things become possible for me, where I am able to live my life and be faithful to my wife, and to avoid the foolish and dark things of this world that will only drive me to despair and failure and heartache, and to follow hard after my Savior and His ways. Because after all, He has made me who I am. And when He says, follow me, that's what we do. May God help us to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this world, and to live that out in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit and through prayer, by praying to our Father that He would give us the ability and the strength to do this. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this evening for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that indeed, even as Your Word sometimes cuts to the heart, we recognize with the writer to the Hebrews that this is the way Your Word is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, exposes us, Father, for who we are. It slays us. But Father, even as we lay there fully exposed before You, You pour in the oil and the wine. You bring us to salvation in Christ through His shed blood. So we thank You tonight. We praise You, Father, tonight for Your Word. We praise You that we can come before You even in prayer and ask that You would help us, that we would live out our lives in such a way that we would be those who would be examples of Jesus Christ in this world. We would spread the gospel, the news, the good news of Jesus Christ, and people would be turned from the darkness of sin and destruction unto that which is salvation and life. We also want to remember tonight, Father, to pray for our brother Victor, who will be going into surgery on Friday. We know, Father, that You know all things, You see all things. And even, Father, as You have given these doctors the wisdom that they need to carry out the surgery, we ask them, Father, that we ask then that You would guide their hands as they perform the surgery on our brother, that it would go well, that the cancer would be completely removed, and that Your healing hand would be placed upon him. He would recover from this and be restored to full health. So we commit him into Your care and into Your keeping even tonight. And thank You, Father, for all that You will do and have done already in his life. So bless us, Father, even as we leave from this place tonight. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.